Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of The Gentlemen?
It was interesting.
I thought you might say that.
And I don't say that in a bad way.
Well,
I read the description on IMDb, just the basic no spoiler synopsis. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be a thing. And as it started going, like, okay, I see what they're going for here. This is okay.
For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, willkommen. This is You Want Me to Watch What? A podcast of two friends who just recommend movies to one another, and then we talk about them and let you listen in. For those of you who didn't read the title before you clicked on this, brave you. Well done. We are talking about the 2019 film Matthew McConaughey, The Gentleman. So we open up with Matthew McConaughey walking into a bar, ordering a drink, calling his wife, and getting shot in the head.
Yep.
And then an excellent rendition of Cumberland Gap.
Yeah.
That quite honestly felt more like a James Bond theme.
It did. Yeah.
It was, very artistic. So we come out of that opening sequence to Hunnam. What's his first name?
I don't remember.
Charlie Hunnam. Raymond coming home. And who should be there but Hugh Grant?
I've only ever heard Hugh Grant speak in his very posh British kind stumbling accent kind of thing. So this threw me for a loop. You could speak among the commoners.
You almost miss that it's Hugh Grant the first time he starts talking.
I did. He's in shadow. I'm like, who is... Oh, well done, Hugh.
That one is probably as much... It was as much a surprise to me as seeing him in Glass Onion.
I've not seen that one yet. So, okay.
It just one of those things where you don't expect it, and there he is. It's like, wait a minute. All right. So Hugh Grant plays Fletcher, an investigative reporter, and he's got a story to sell to Raymond, specifically a story about Raymond's boss, Mickey Pearson, a gangster, a wholesale marijuana drug dealer. And the reason that Fletcher is there is because Fletcher was hired by the editor of a tabloid who was snubbed by Mickey to find some kind of dirt. Investigate this guy's links to one of these dukes or something.
Mm-hmm.
The duke's got a heroin-addicted daughter. There's got to be something there. Mm. And Fletcher presents the whole thing as a screenplay.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, that's what sold me on the movie the first time I saw it. Was when he talks in the beginning, is like a proper grain, proper film, 35 millimeter with the,
and they were adjusting the screen as it, they were,
because the whole thing's digital. And so, well, I tell you, well done, you, well done, Guy Ritchie, which I like Guy Ritchie's stuff generally anyway, but that's neither here nor there. So we get a bit of a history on Mickey Pearson, Rhodes Scholar, poor American guy who doesn't finish school because he found that he can sell marijuana pretty well and builds his empire, as it were. But now he's reached the point where he wants to sell his business, retire quietly, live peacefully with his wife, Roz, and just go about life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to sell it to this another American businessman, Michael.
Yep.
Yeah, kept throwing me.
Yeah, between Mickey and Michael, I'm like, wait, what? Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Matthew. It wasn't Michael. It was Matthew.
That's right.
Because Mickey was played by Matthew. But Matthew was not played by Mickey.
No.
Matthew was played by Jeremy.
Who's on first?
Who? Anyway, the plan is to sell the marijuana business, the entire thing, to Matthew for 400 million pounds, and then he's out. And Matthew wants to know, how's this all going to work? How does your operations go? So on and so forth. And what we discover is that basically Mickey has been paying rent to the various and sundry lords and ladies of England, because every generation they lose about 40% of their wealth, their property wealth, to taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they've got these great big stately homes and no money to care for them and no money to have staff, etc. and so forth. So he pays them rent, $100 million a year, and they let him basically build a gigantic marijuana growth factory farm underground.
Yeah.
So in showing that to Matthew, the price is there, 400 million pounds, yada, yada. And then one of those labs is raided by a group of young toughs.
Yeah.
You know, 20-somethings and maybe a couple of 30-somethings.
Mm-hmm.
Who beat up security and steal just a ton of marijuana. And then upload a rap video of their caper online.
Yep.
Enter Colin Farrell, one of my favorite characters in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Who is the coach? He has no idea what's going on. Our introduction to him is he's getting a sandwich at a deli and a bunch of punk kids come in and he starts playing the dozens with them without them even realizing what it is.
Yeah.
You know, why does it smell like wee in here? You know, step back, son. You got your mouthwash confused with the cat piss. You know? And then he gets that call. He's like, you've done what with my van?
Yeah.
And he shows up to find that, oh no, they have stolen just crap tons of marijuana. And it happens to belong to Mickey Pearson, who is the marijuana drug kingpin in the area. So we've got our story beats. We've got Fletcher with a story.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Mickey and wanting to sell things. We've got the coach who's now got a bunch of idiots that he's taken kind of responsibility for.
Yep.
And then we've got Dry Eye. You know, he is the Chinese gangster in this who works for Lord George.
Mm-hmm.
Who is trying to supposedly undercut Matthew, or overcut, I guess. He's trying to buy out all of this business.
Yeah.
Skipping around a whole bunch of stuff, which you should definitely watch, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. There's just a lot to go over.
There's a lot to go over. Is that Dry Eye was working with Matthew to try to drive the price down on the drug empire. You know, you get Mickey gets raided. He's got to shut down and move a whole bunch of stuff. It's interrupted a whole lot of the process. Therefore, things go south. And all of this is being narrated by Fletcher in this very Cockney slang heavy thing. Watch it with subtitles to make sure that you get it.
I didn't. But I also have listened to a lot of Cockney accents over the years, so I just kind of I knew where he was going.
You get to it. It's not awful. It was easier for me with the subtitles. I'll say that.
Fair enough.
So, and I'm, by the way, I'm skipping a whole bunch. Like, oh, yeah. I'm skipping the whole the heroin addicted daughter bit,
uh-huh,
which comes into play later, but you need some extra stuff. Anyway, so Dry Eye is in league with Matthew, the businessman who's going to buy things, and Dry Eye basically has his boss killed in order to keep things there. He then tries to arrange, or someone tries to arrange, Mickey's death. And that's the scene from the very beginning, except his bodyguard, Raymond, the guy that Fletcher's talking to,
mm-hmm,
stops it. The gunshot and the blood we see came from Raymond doing his job and doing it well.
Yeah.
Mickey was on the phone with his wife. He loves his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Adores his wife. And there is this mutual attraction and seeming respect between the two of them. I mean, this is... It's not an imbalanced relationship.
No, definitely not.
But he hears kind of a scuffle, and he hears that there's something going on with his wife over the phone.
Uh-huh.
And so he goes to get her and finds Dry Eye attempting to assaulting her.
Yeah. After she had already shot his two men.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she had a two-shot Derringer.
Yeah.
And so once the two shots were done, she was bit out. This, I will say also, was probably one of the most satisfying scenes to me. When she's looking at the door and suddenly her facial expression changes.
Yeah.
Because she's not been violated at this state. And she sees him and she's like, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And she stops resisting, which causes Dry Eye to look over at the door, and you see just this hitch in his entire being,
uh-huh,
as he realizes what's about to happen.
Yeah, she looks over and says, oh, hello, darling.
What? Hello, darling. And he looks over, and he has this, like, panicky look, and then shift over to Matthew McConaughey's Mickey Pearson, just staring, blood on his person because he was in a car accident, holding a gun at, like, a 45-degree angle, you know, not full 90-degree yeah, gangster, but not, you know, cop 90.
Yeah.
And just bang, 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 bang. So all this then wraps back to Fletcher ending his story with Raymond. That's as far as Fletcher's story goes. And he's like, and what we find is that Raymond basically was using Fletcher to confirm all the suspicions that they had about what was going on. To get to end with Mickey Pearson and Matthew Berger meeting up at the frozen fish plant, which is a cover for European distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew tries to drop his offer from $400 million to like $160 million or $130, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because clearly the valuation has gone down. And it's all done in this beautiful, you know, 1984 doublespeak kind of multi-syllabic words that mean nothing.
Uh-huh.
This is it, before Mickey brings him into a refrigerator freezer, you know, freezer cart, shows him his dead partner, and then says, you know, you've bothered my money. I don't care about the money. I'm not emotional about the money. But someone came after my wife. And so for that, you're going to pay me the money. And then he hands him a fillet knife,
uh-huh,
and says, and a pound of flesh. And I don't care where you get it from. And if you find yourself squeamish, Bunny here is very good, and he'll take it for me.
Uh-huh.
It is cold. Oh, it's just ice cold. So Coach comes in, and I'm, because Coach has the funniest scenes.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Pearl.
He goes and visits Raymond to say, look, it was my boys that robbed this, and I can return your product, but I can't return the inconvenience, so take my service until that debt's paid off. And so he asked for help basically three times. First, find out how your boys got the information about where things were. That part was done.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Great. P-H-U-C is the guy's name.
Yeah.
And it just, a longer amount of time than is reasonable or prudent is spent on the two of them talking about that.
But it's not so long that it goes into like Family Guy joke territory.
It's still funny the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So there's that part. The second part was taking care of that newspaper editor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy is causing a problem for Mickey. So they kidnap that guy, drug him, and then film him having coitus with a pig.
Yep.
Which leads to this wonderful statement. This will be with me till I'm dead.
Yeah. This is nightmare fuel. You can't unsee this.
I can't unsee this. The third one is to find all of the proof that Fletcher had, and Coach is like, and I'm out, right? You can't keep coming back to this well. But each time he's on is just glorious. And then it turns out that there was a fourth thing that just shows up.
Yeah.
And Coach takes care of it, looks at Raymond, holds up four fingers, and then walks away. Almost like to say, you owe me one.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be a sequel, but I kind of want a movie about Coach.
Yeah.
So that is a really long synopsis, but I'm not ashamed of that. I believed every single character in this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Matthew McConaughey as Mickey Pearson was so wonderful. Because he had done rom-coms for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically just an eye candy thing. And then he basically just stopped taking those for a while to do other things. And in this one, he's got just the right amount of age on him to be an established drug dealer,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this kind of world. And it's just, his eyes are cold. His bearing is very professional and aloof, except when he's with his wife.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so flirty and wonderful.
Yeah. But he still has enough of that handsome quality to not look out of place with the hoi polloi, you know, the lords and ladies.
He
doesn't look like your typical, quote, American drug dealer. He is a very proper man, but see it in his eyes that he's done shit and he's not afraid to do more shit.
And he does.
Yes.
A couple of times in this movie.
Uh-huh.
But that's part of going to Oxford. He might not have graduated, but he went to Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, like I said, I don't think anybody in this did a bad job. I love the way it's shot.
Yeah.
The movie is shot in this very classical gangster type thing. There are lots of slow shots. There's some very fast ones too, and there's a couple of chase sequences that use the shaky cam thing that they feel out of place almost when they show up. When Raymond has to chase down the kids with the phones.
Yeah.
You know, which we're not going to get much into.
No.
A couple of those are nice, and they're very smooth, and they're very, but some of them are just that pre-steady cam thing where it's just like, ooh, everything else on this has been very dolly driven or very rails, you know,
uh-huh.
It's very, and then that happens. It's like, oh, I wish they had framed this differently. Colors are on point. It looks like the kind of movie it's meant to be. And
mm-hmm.
I realize that's a very circular, vague thing to say, but when you see it, you'll get it.
Yeah.
Again, like I'm going to say, Cumberland Gap, that opening song, perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It set the tone for the rest of that.
It did, yes.
So, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I will speak the praises of this for a long time. So I need you to break me up here and talk some more about what you're thinking. What got you? What didn't?
Well, by the end of it, the whole thing had me. I was good with everything I had seen. There, when I finished, there wasn't any part of that movie where I'm like, okay, but, or I didn't. No, I was all in. It was a little slow at first with the opening scene and then the big James Bond-esque credits. I'm like, okay, here we go. Just wait. Good song, but waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Fletcher shows up and starts talking and actually lays down a script, like a no-joke manuscript.
I'm Bush.
Like, okay, this is interesting. And then we start, you know, piecing everything together to get up to where, I'm like, okay, this, we're filling in stuff now. Now I see where this is. Okay. I'm cool with this. And one of the bits that I really enjoyed was when Mickey was talking to Matthew about how it is difficult to grow marijuana in England because not only do you have, you know, police helicopters and Google Earth and stuff like that, but the British community at large has kind of a right to walk wherever.
You got the hikers, the bird watchers,
the people who are calling, you know, the homeowners association if somebody doesn't have the right permit to mow their lawn. You know, everybody's always up in everybody else's business. And so you can't just plant, you know, grow marijuana any old where, which is where it comes into. He pays rent for what on the outset is a storage unit on, you know, this lord's land, just kind of out in the back 40. You go in it, secret hatch, and then massive underground complex. So I'm like, okay. But the lead up to that where he's discussing all of the idiosyncrasies of British culture and how they do things over there. I'm like, okay, yeah, they took their time to kind of read up on it and explain it in such a way that it makes sense. I'm like, okay, so that part I really enjoyed, that whole synopsis thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really did enjoy Colin Farrell as Coach. That,
yeah.
Anytime he was on scene, I enjoyed it. And I'm not a huge Colin Farrell fan. And I'm also not a huge Matthew McConaughey fan. But this is the exception. This movie was the exception. Mm-hmm. There really isn't anything about this movie that I didn't enjoy.
Say, the only real thing that I would say anybody is, the language on this one is not terribly sensitive.
Oh, no. No. This is far from a PC.
For anybody who's offended by any naughty words beginning with the letter C, you may want to steer clear.
But you also got to understand that overseas, it's not nearly so offensive. In fact, sometimes it's a compliment. In fact, they address that at one point. They address that at one point in the movie.
So this to me stands head and shoulders over some of Guy Ritchie's things. And I like Guy Ritchie. I've liked him since I first saw Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, which was his first one. And then Snatch kind of filled in the rest.
I've seen Snatch, and I didn't know that he'd directed both of them. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, this kind of reminds me of that one movie I saw in college. What was it? Oh, yeah, Snatch. I wonder why. Oh, that's why.
But, I mean, so, but it also shares a lot of the same stylistic things that he's done with other stuff. So, I mean, if you saw the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr., it's got a similar cinematic style, very different color, very different mood, but certain things that you watch, and you're like, oh, right, this guy's got a style. Or even the live action adaptation of Disney's Aladdin, you know, where the way that the screen is presented. So, It's a see it from me.
Oh, absolutely. Same here.
So.
Same here.
With two see it's, I think it means it's your turn next in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, and I got something to kick off the new year with.
Awesome.
Hello, me popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.